All right, everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of the Annalise Show. I am your host, Annalise Garcia. We have a great show for you guys today. And I want to make a really, really exciting announcement. The reason that we haven't been having any shows out in the last couple of weeks is because I have been really rethinking and restructuring what I want to do with the show. Now, we are still going to have really cool political interviews. We're still going to go over news stories on the Annalise Show, but we are also starting a new project, which is super, super exciting. And to talk about it with me today, I have my best friend, Heather Bravo. Hey, Heather.
Hey.
Okay, so I'm not going to tease you guys anymore. I know I've been posting on Twitter and saying like, hey, something's coming. You guys should totally, totally be excited for this. We're going to be doing a new show. It is going to be called Real Talk Tonight.
Yes.
Yes. And it is going to be myself and Heather. And we're just going to be shooting the shit. It is going to be much more casual than the Annalise Show. It's going to be much more relaxed. It's going to be much more us just having conversations about random shit. And the really cool thing is, guess what? You're listening to the first episode right now. So let me share with you guys our fucking amazing little fucking screen that we have here. So this is going to be the image cover for our first video. And funny enough, we're shooting our first episode on Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Yes, Friday the 13th. And Heather actually had this idea because first of all, as you guys get to know Heather, you're going to fall in love because she has the best stories. Dude, it's insane. And so today we're going to be talking about like different myths and different monsters, I guess you could call them, or scary things in different cultures. And then like I will be sharing a really weird experience that I had, even though as I explained to her, I totally know what happened. And it's scientifically explainable. And I'm an atheist, so I don't believe in any of that crap. But we're going to share fun stories. Okay. So what are some of like the myths and scary stories that like you grew up with?
Okay, so I grew up with a very spiritual family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my grandmother had us in church 4 days a week, and everything was either heavenly or devilish. And if you get to know me, I kind of grew up on the devilish side. So we had a lot of spiritual knowledge, I want to say. If something came up, yes, there's always a scientific explanation for everything that happens, but my grandmother always brought it to the spiritual side. So that's how I automatically look at everything. So we had several stories in our family growing up. You know, my grandmother was Irish. We talked about, you know, different things in Ireland. But then I caught on to, hey, what's going on over there in Scotland? Isn't that the Loch Ness Monster? Like, why are we talking about, like, you know, Lucky Charms when we need to talk about what's going on at Loch Ness? So I grew up with the myth of Nessie.
Okay.
Who, you know, I have looked back and seen photos that were taken as early as the 1950s. And so I had several different ideas and images of what Nessie was or where she came from. I say she because it's Nessie. You know, lots of fishermen said that they were out there in this huge, like, underwater dinosaur, you know, came up or stuck its head out of the water and it looked like a long neck, you know. Mm-hmm. So through the years, I've kind of followed the stories of Nessie, and I've come to, at my adult age, I come to think that water turtles, as they age, and they can live for hundreds of years, they continuously grow.
Really?
They get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So I'm thinking, okay, well, she could be an underwater turtle. She could have been a rare type of water lizard, mm-hmm. or even, yes, a dinosaur. So I had an interesting conversation today with my brother, actually, about Nessie. And he brought to my attention that people were talking about Bigfoot and Sasquatches and how they thought that they were coming through a portal from another dimension.
No shit.
Yes.
Dude.
And so like they have video footage of a Sasquatch that they were following and it ducked down and it covered its head and then it disappeared. So they're saying that it was going through the portal.
Right.
So how hard would it then to believe if, you know, we've got Bigfoot going through the different portals. If, you know, when the fishermen go out there and they're looking
right.
for Nessie in Loch Ness and they can't find her, what if she's going through a portal?
Okay, so where would this hypothetical portal lead?
Well, I don't know because I didn't go through it. I'm looking for it. I'm thinking maybe it's kind of like the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay.
You know,
what do you think is going on at the Bermuda Triangle?
I have no fucking clue.
Because there have been, you know, there have been a lot of ships that have disappeared there throughout the years.
Planes.
Yeah.
Like there's literally a triangle of the area that is forbidden for you to travel through. You cannot take a boat through there. You cannot fly through there because you're not going to come back.
Do you think it's just something to do with like, it's an area where there's a lot of tempest and so it just destroys these aircrafts and these ships? Or do you think there's something crazy going on?
I always hope for the crazy.
Of course you do.
I always hope for the crazy. But I'm thinking because there's like big whirlpools out there that maybe the suction from it is literally bringing the air down and bringing down the planes. And then the ships are being destroyed. Mm-hmm. If there's strong currents, I mean, it could be pulled apart and we can find a toothpick. You know what I mean? So that's something I need to look further into, but that's my idea of what's going on in the Bermuda Triangle right now.
You know, they're thinking that like, apparently Bigfoot, it's not like some mythical thing, but it could have actually been an actual creature, just like a large, right. And so I think a lot of these creatures that there's like myths about, I think it might just be actual like regular animals that were just different back in the earlier stages of evolution and that may have died out. And as years pass, stories get kind of blown a little bigger and a little bigger and a little bigger.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe it's like someone saw something that wasn't as big as they're describing, but to them it was huge. So they're like, oh my God, this thing was fucking huge. And now, do you think it could have been like a smaller thing that they described, but like maybe some kind of extinct species?
Or? So Bigfoot is a big friend of mine. I grew up with my grandparents. I mentioned my grandmother several times, but my grandfather was born in 1904. And he was what they called Black Dutch.
Okay.
Because he had dark skin. He had gray eyes. Like if you look at a gray marble, that's what his eyes look like. And he had jet black hair. And he was a crop sharer. He, you know, was a farmer. He traveled. He supported a family through the Great Depression, which was big to me. And so he did a lot of things. So when I was growing up, he belonged to a hunting group, a hunting club, him and his closest friends. And they used to go out and I used to go to a place called Gold Creek. Mm-hmm. And they used to hunt and get mountain lions and, you know, bobcats and, you know, things like that. And he got several trophies. They all did this with their dogs. They had hunting dogs, which we bred at our home. Great. And so a few times he would take me to Gold Creek with him. And I used to hear this screeching noise. And I was a little girl and I would tell Grandpa, what's that? And he would say, well, that's what we're hunting. And I'm like, okay, so what is that? And he would tell me, he was like, this is Bigfoot. We're after Bigfoot.
Oh my goodness.
So again, when I was younger, I was introduced to a movie called The Legend of Boggy Creek. Legend of Boggy Creek, I believe it's filmed in like Arkansas or something like that. And it's about this little town who started getting terrified, traumatized by this big hairy man that they would see walking through the woods. And there's even a story about this family that had just moved into like a cabin or like a mobile home or something like that. And the husbands were away, and the women and the kids were left there. And one of the women saw it through the window, and it actually stuck its hand through the window and tried to grab one of the other women. So they made this story, this movie, which was kind of acting like a documentary on what was going on. But then they also had Return to Boggy Creek. So I'm scrolling through, I don't know, Netflix or something, and I'm seeing an actual documentary that was made based on The Legend of Boggy Creek and Return of Boggy Creek. So they go back and they start talking to people in this town.
Okay.
And they're trying to debunk it. Is this a myth? Like, what is going on? And there were several people that they spoke to who had actually seen it or who had heard it. And the sound that it made did not compare to a dog or a wolf or a coyote or a bobcat or anything like that. It was just this crazy sound. So my grandfather used to go to Gold Creek, and he said that there were sightings. There's been several sightings of a Bigfoot or what they saw at Boggy Creek all over the world. And it can't be one just traveling, because there are multiple sightings in multiple areas at the same time. So he had told me there's a Bigfoot at Gold Creek where he hunts. So every time he got ready to go, I was like, oh, Grandpa, I want to go. So the one time I didn't go with him, I don't know, I was sick or something like that. He went and they lost one of their dogs. The dog never came back. They came back and my grandfather was shaking, and he said, that's it. I'm never going back there again. And so one night, he's watching Johnny Carson or something on TV, and I sneak out of my room and I'm like, okay, Grandpa, break it down to me. You gotta tell me, what did you see?
Give me the truth,
and
Gramps.
He said that they heard it, and they were following it, the sound of it. And then it sounded like it was behind them. And he said,
that's not creepy at all.
No, not at all. And I mean, this place, Gold Creek, like it was like woods and a narrow path. And then you ended up in the water. Like
that sounds pretty.
It was beautiful during the day, but scary as hell at night. Let me tell you, like I was always shaking when I was out there. I was like, Grandpa, like, let me hold that rifle for you. And so he told me that they heard it, they followed it, it followed them. And they had decided that they were going to go back to their trucks, and they started calling the dogs in. And these dogs were trained. They could hear my grandfather's whistle miles away and just come running to him. And one of them did not come back. So he stayed out extra late looking for her. She was his baby. And he never found her. But apparently he saw it, and he said it was the most terrifying thing he had ever seen, that he literally froze and it was watching him, and he didn't know if he should walk towards it, if he should grab his rifle, if he should run away.
How did
away.
He know it wasn't a person wearing some
well,
kind
he's,
of-
Well, he estimated the height on it, 8 to 9 feet.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's
and
not going to happen.
And he said that it was probably 300 to 400 pounds, covered in hair, and that it made this horrible screeching sound, like it was yelling. And then he got scared that maybe it was calling its family or something, So
calling his own voice for backup.
Yeah, so Grandpa booked it. Grandpa, said his blessing over the doggy that he couldn't find. And yeah, he got out of there. And Grandpa never went back. Mm. And my grandfather was an adventurous man. And he was just like, what did you hear? Let's go check this out. We're going to investigate this ourselves, you know? And so he left and never went back. And so then I was fascinated, like, oh, I got to learn everything I possibly can about Bigfoot and Sasquatches and, you know, families of them. And there's been so many sightings, and like, they continuously try to debunk them, but they continuously try to debunk UFOs, and now look at the government. True. Just
but there
came
have
out
been
with
fake
like, hey,
Sasquatches.
Oh yeah,
there have been videos,
sure. And there's fake videos of UFOs. Yeah. But the government did just come out and say, "Hey, guess what, y'all?
Yes.
There's UFOs."
Yes.
So,
which we're gonna talk about in another episode, by the way.
Yes.
We have to do a UFO episode.
Yes. So I believe that there is Bigfoots. I believe that there are another species that either were very popular in the past and died out, and there's just a few of them now, and they're scared because we've evolved so rapidly and crazy like that they don't feel safe or comfortable coming out.
Is your theory that they have a common ancestor like we do with apes, with us? Do you think that we have common ancestors,
really,
or do you think they're
that
completely
we came
different
from apes?
No, we didn't come from it. God damn it. Why does it, we didn't come from apes. Apes and us have a common, what the fuck? Apes and us have a common ancestor. We didn't come.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Anyway, do you believe? Oh, fuck my life. Do you believe?
If we share them from apes, our lives would be fucked.
You damn dirty apes. Those are good
Caesar
movies.
No.
Dude, okay. I know that everybody loves to romanticize certain movies and or shows and say, oh my god, they're the greatest movie or the greatest show of all time. Okay, the original Planet of the Apes movies were good.
Yes.
I don't think they were, oh my God, they were good. They were fun. They were good. The new Planet of the Apes movies, holy shit, they're amazing.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Well, see, the old Planet of the Apes movies, I didn't really watch the movies. I watched the TV series.
I haven't seen the TV series.
So, you know, I'm like 1,000 years older than you.
No,
so
you're not.
I've seen a lot of stuff. And then again, going back to growing up with my grandparents,
yeah.
Like, I watched a lot of crazy stuff that they watched, and then reruns of crazy stuff that they watched. So the series, The Planet of the Apes, I was hooked on it. Like, I had to watch it every day at 5 o'clock on Channel 5, I think. And it was just like, I had to watch this. But yes, the new movies are fantastic.
Not only do they look amazing, the, what do you call it when they capture it? The movement capturing,
yes,
or whatever. Holy shit.
Yes.
And the stories are real. I was like, these movies are fucking bad. And of course, anytime you throw Woody Harrelson into anything.
Oh yeah.
Like, of course it's going to be even better because he's awesome. But those movies are so good. It's Friday the 13th. We're talking about random shit. Get over it. I have a feeling this is how our episodes are going to go. We were originally thinking, maybe we should do an episode on this topic. And it's like, we ended up talking about like 20 different things. And I actually kind of like that.
I do too, because it's not so structured where you have to stick to this story or you have to read this line. It's natural.
Exactly.
And natural's awesome. So
yeah, I totally agree. That's why it's so much fun. Okay, so I have one story that is pretty cool. Now, this was like years ago. I must have been really young, like between 13 and 15.
Like 2 months ago.
yes, I'm so young. And so I was sleeping in this room that we're recording in right now. My bed was against that wall and it went this way, right?
Okay.
And I remember I woke up, something startled me and woke me up, and like the room was pitch dark, everybody was sleeping. And when I opened my eyes, I was laying in bed, like just, and like opened my eyes and looked ahead, and there was this black figure, and by black I mean like total dark, like a dark figure.
Like a shadow man.
Yes.
Okay.
Like a shadow man.
Yes. Shadow men are actually things. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
What the fuck? Okay, you're gonna have to explain that after this. Okay. There was this dark figure standing at the foot of my bed, It didn't have any features. Like, obviously, it was dark. What was I going to see, right? And I got super scared and I couldn't move. Like, okay. I literally tried to move and I could not move. And then, this is the creepy part, right? Then I look over to the left to my door and my stepdad is standing right there at the door watching me. Really fucking creepy. We'll talk about my stepdad, I'm sure, in another episode. He was a horrible, horrible person. And just a terrible human being, like a garbage person. You can't tell how I feel about him yet.
Piece of shit.
But okay, he was standing at my door, just creepily looking in on me in the middle of the night. And it was so creepy. Like I woke up like scared and like, oh my God, but I couldn't move. And he was just standing there. And so that always creeped me out. But then it turns out that there's actually a scientific explanation for this, which is when you first wake up, there's like a few seconds, and it's different every time, but there's like just a second or more where your mind wakes up before your body. And so you can literally, there are cases where you can wake up and be unable to move right away because your body hasn't caught up yet.
It's called sleep paralysis.
There you go. And what an obvious fucking name. I'm all explaining this shit.
You're like, and we couldn't move?
We couldn't move? Yeah, it was crazy. So yeah, like there's totally, and it turns out that in that stage where you're just waking up from sleep, you can see things that aren't there. Like your mind is fucking not fully awake yet, so it's fucking with you.
But also, I believe that, so children are so innocent that they see and feel and can pick up on vibes on everything. Children can see spirits, they can see shadow people, they can see all kinds of things that we don't see as adults.
So what are shadow people?
Why? Because we're constantly telling them there's nothing there. There's no one there. So they learn to block it out and tell themselves there's nothing there. So then 90% of them don't see them anymore. And shadow figures, can be several different things, but they are a known entity of supernatural. So there's like documentaries, there's articles. They even made a movie about sleep paralysis and shadow figures, like in the same movie. And we'll have to do some more research on it and we can do a show on that because that would be like so fun.
That would be fun.
Like me personally, I've seen things growing up my entire life and I still see things. My brother sees things. My daughter, who was born on my brother's birthday, she sees things. Sometimes she's in another state than my brother. And my brother will call her and say, I just had a dream. And then she will finish telling him about his dream because they have the same dream. They used to see the same things in a house that we were in. He used to call me when she was little and say, what's wrong with the baby? Her stomach hurts. And she had been up all night throwing up. Like, and he didn't live with us. He had no way of knowing this. Nobody else knew. And he knew when he would call me, or she would wake me up in the middle of the night and tell me I needed to call Uncle Jeremy. So, you know, so I've never told my kids or encouraged them to block stuff out. If it's something that frightens you, I've taught my children to pray because that's what my grandmother taught me. And when, you know, if it's something that scares them or they don't like the vibe or the feeling, you know, pray and move on. But if it's something that they don't feel is scary or threatening to them, like they just let it be, you know, I mean, my daughter called me, she's in Washington and she had a ghost experience at a lake that's like two blocks from her house. So her and her husband, are walking. Hi, Tori. Hi, Eli. They're walking at this lake park. It's a couple blocks from their house. They go walking there every day. They walk like 6 to 10 miles a day or some crazy thing like that. And they're there every day at different times of the day, morning, afternoon, evening. They've been there when it gets dark. So they're walking this path that they normally take every day, and they see this woman, and she's dressed in a white old-fashioned nightgown. So she immediately thinks, oh man, somebody's grandma got out of the house. The woman's back was to her. She had long dark hair, and they got closer to her and they both got creepy vibes. Mm-hmm. And so they decided to turn around and walk away from her. So as they're walking away from her, my daughter turns around to just kind of glance at her. Her back is still turned to them, but she's much closer to them.
Yeah.
So they still keep walking, and she turns around and looks again, and she's much closer to them now, still with her back turned to them. So then she said they got a little pep in their step and kind of, you know, took off. And when they got to another area where they could see the entire lake, the entire park, and where this woman was looking at, looking over the water, they turned around and looked, and she wasn't there. And they looked, they had a clear view of the entire place, and they couldn't find her. She was nowhere to be seen.
Dude, that's creepy.
Yeah. So she was like, maybe I won't walk here at night anymore. But then she said that there were several people there and nobody else seemed to notice her.
See, that's creepy.
But her and her husband both saw her.
Yeah.
So then I told her, well, why don't you do some research on that lake and maybe see if somebody jumped from the bridge or fell or died or whatever.
Yeah.
So she did some research and found out, unfortunately, that a man had passed there in like 2014, but she couldn't find anything about a woman. And I told her, well, that's something that we'll have to investigate more. And I was just like, maybe we'll even go, and maybe with our show, maybe we'll go and we'll film there and we'll talk about it. And you know,
that would be cool. Fun.
So yeah, I've never discouraged them believing in what they see.
Yeah.
Like, you see it, it's in front of you, it feels real. Your hairs are standing up on your arm. Like, there's something there that's making you feel that way. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that some people kind of take things out of context and maybe can create thoughts in their mind if they're focused on something too much. I really believe the power of suggestion and things like that. So, you know, there are some people that like create it in their head, but there are so many experiences that our family has had that it's just too much for it to all be fake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, like my mother had several experiences. My mother was like a magnet for supernatural stuff. And like, she told me a story, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
she told me a story that we were little and she was living in a house in San Fernando, and they had bought this house off of an elderly couple. And they sold it because they said the house was just too big for them. All of their kids lived in different states. Their grandkids very rarely came to stay, and it was just them. They didn't need it. So they bought it directly from them. They didn't go to a bank. So they had their telephone numbers and information and things like that. And sometimes the woman would stop by and say hi to my mom or bring her some fruit or something, just being friendly.
Yeah.
And so my mother said that on Christmas morning, me and my two brothers woke up and we had these huge candy canes in our beds, and she had not given them to us. And my father had not given them to us.
That's not creepy at all.
So later on that day, the lady who sold the house to them called to wish them a Merry Christmas, and it was their first Christmas in that home. And my mother was like, you know, something kind of creepy just happened. And the lady started laughing. And she said, did the kids wake up with candy canes? And my mother said, yes. So there's a story behind it. She said, do you have your Christmas tree up? And she said, yeah. She said, go look at your Christmas tree and tell me if there's something different. So my mother went and looked at the Christmas tree. And there used to be this stuff before there was tinsel. There was this stuff called angel hair. And it looked like a bunch of like cotton, like all stretched out, and you used to wrap your tree in it. And
yes.
It was angel hair.
White, yeah.
Yes. So there was angel hair all over the tree. And my mom was heavy tinsel person. She was not an angel hair person. So the lady told her the story. I guess the husband had passed away. But when his children, when they were small, he used to go in on Christmas morning before they woke up and slip candy canes in their beds. And he used to put angel hair on the tree and tell them that, you know, an angel kissed their tree and that was the hair that fell. And he used to tell them stories like that. So then when the kids grew up and started having kids of their own, he used to go to their house at night and give them candy canes to put in their kids' beds and the angel hair so that they could continue the story that he had started. Well, after he passed away, his kids all lived in different states and the grandkids were all in the different states. So after he passed away the first Christmas, all of the kids called the mom and told them that all of the kids woke up with candy canes in their beds and there was angel hair on their tree. And none of them had done that. So she laughed and she thought it was very funny that he continued the tradition in their home and continued it with me and my brothers. So yes, my mother quickly packed us and we moved out. Yes, that was one. There was a story that my brother would wake up in the night and there was a man kind of in like in a mechanic's uniform, kind of reminds me of like Michael Myers, standing over the foot of his bed, just watching him. And one night it creeped him out and my mother had come into the room and she told him, why are you awake? And he was like, because of that man. And she's like, what man? He was like, that man, he just left my room. He's walking down the hall. And my mom's like, there's no man walking down the hall. And back in those days, they used to have a hall door that used to separate the living room from the hallway, from the bedroom, so that it, you know, any noise could keep the people sleeping in the room quiet. And she said, just then the hall door closed.
Dude, I love hearing these stories. They're yes. So much fun.
I have tons of them. We'll have to do something on them because, yeah, it's fun. And I mean, it's Friday the 13th. There are so many myths, so many legends, so many, you know, superstitions that come back to Friday the 13th,
yeah.
You know? And it's just like, it's great. It's one of my favorite days besides Halloween and Christmas. Isn't that funny? Like, you know, a religious holiday versus another religious holiday.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are they both pagan holidays?
They're very much so both pagan holidays. The Christmas tree was part of a pagan ritual. People say the gifts under the tree was, you know, to represent the three wise men bringing the gifts to the manger where baby Jesus laid. But then if you do research on the pagan rituals, there's a reason for the gifts as well.
Mm.
Then Halloween, there's a reason for the pumpkins, you know, like.
What's the reason for the pumpkins?
So it was said like way back in the day, in the Druids days, days that they would go door to door and they would ask each man of the house to give up the oldest virgin daughter to be sacrificed.
Of course.
For
fun.
A sacrifice.
Fun.
And the ones that gave the daughters to be sacrificed, they put a jack-o'-lantern on their porch so that on at night when the evil spirits came through the streets, they would know not to mess with the people in that house because they gave their offering.
It's like putting the blood of a lamb or whatever on your door so that God won't smite you.
Well, then if you refused, that's where the whole trick or treat came from. They would actually mark your door,
mm-hmm.
and then the evil spirits would come and do shit to you because you didn't give up your sacrifice. Dude. Yeah.
Dude, like, it's okay, so fun. It's so much fun. Okay, before we close out this show, we have to do, what are some of our favorite horror things? Like, for me, like, my favorite, out of all the slashers.
Yes.
Okay, my favorite is Pinhead.
Yes.
Okay. I love Hellraiser.
I love him. Yes.
No, I mean, a lot of people understand. I have an
autographed Funko Pop of Pinhead.
By the actual.
I met him and Doug, he signed it in front of me and gave it to me. I didn't even have to pay for it.
Oh my God.
I love, yes.
That is awesome. Okay. Some people might understand this. Some people might not. There's something hot about Pinhead. There's something hot about Pinhead. I can't tell you what it is.
The mind control and stuff kind of makes him sexy. I see it.
And the look is cool, man.
My favorite, my personal favorite is Michael Myers.
Okay, okay.
And the original Halloweens, not the Rob Zombie Halloweens. I mean, Rob Zombie's
a fabulous creator. Have you seen the new Halloweens with, oh my God, the latest one?
Yes.
Is so good.
Yes. And there's another one coming out this October.
Yes, we need to see that. And react
together.
It.
Yes.
Yes.
So I love Michael Myers, the original Halloween, because he was a kid. He was like 5 or 6 years old. Yeah. And he just decided to like slaughter his whore girlfriend, his whore sister, who was getting freaky with her boyfriend. And there was no reason for it. There was nothing. In the Rob Zombie version, I could totally understand why that kid became a serial killer.
Yeah.
You know, like his mom was a stripper, his stepdad was abusive, like he was picked on at school, and he was much older.
Yeah.
And he was like killing animals. So like he had all the traits.
Yeah.
You know? But the 5-year-old, why?
Yeah.
There was no explanation for it.
So and that's part of what made it creepy.
They said, you looked into his eyes and it was cold and dark and it was just pure evil.
Yeah.
And he never spoke again.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's the creepy shit.
Yeah.
Not to me, not, you know, the stripper mom and the abusive stepdad. Like, yeah, I'm going to go slit somebody's throat too. But it's just like that is understandable. The original is what makes it creepy because there was no explanation for it.
Yeah.
And it's just desire to go and just murder his whole family and keep hunting his sister, Lori, you know, who was given away. Like there is no reason for it. And like, you know, like 30 years of terrifying movies is just like, yes, continue it. Yes. He's my favorite.
I totally agree. I love, by the way, how in-depth and like well thought out your answer was. And now I was like, yeah, I'd fuck Pinhead.
Yeah.
Like
sure. Why not? Yeah.
No, but I mean, in reality, like the Hellraiser movies, they're super fucking cool. Like, first of all, the whole idea of the lament configuration is so fucking cool. The whole idea of the whole world that they live in. It's just the Cenobites, right?
Yes.
Dude, it's so fucking cool. I just thought it was a very unique. My backup is Freddy.
Okay.
Yeah, my backup is Freddy.
I the original and then part 3 Dream Warriors. Dokken did that soundtrack and I'm a hairband fan. So Dokken was one of my favorites. Yes, those two are my favorite Freddies.
And of course, if you're talking about horror, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like my favorite movie of all time, tied with Labyrinth.
Rocky Horror Picture Show is fantastic. Have you seen any of the Conjuring movies?
Is that the one with
Ed and Lorraine Warren?
Is that the one with Patrick? You've seen Hard Candy. Have we watched Hard Candy together?
No.
With Ellen, you know who Ellen Page is?
No.
Okay. Sorry. Ellen Page is someone that used to exist and now he is, I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. He's trans, right?
Okay.
But she was a she back then. Jesus fucking Christ. She.
Get it right. Get it right.
She, when she was Ellen Page at the time, she was in the X-Men movies as Kitty. She was.
As Kitty.
Yeah. She was in that movie with Patrick, what the fuck is his name? I have a cell phone right in front of me.
We can Google.
Yeah, yeah. Hard Candy.
We have these
Hard
amazing
candy.
Little handful computers.
I know. We're all sitting here like, what the fuck? Let's rely on our memories.
Yes.
It's not Patrick Stewart. It's Patrick Wilson. Patrick Wilson, who was also in Phantom of the Opera. He played Raoul in Phantom of the Opera.
Okay.
Okay. He was in the Conjuring movies, right? Wasn't he the one in the Conjuring movies?
The one who plays Ed Warren?
Wait, what?
He plays Ed Warren.
The Conjuring. Yeah, it's this chick and Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Wilson
plays her husband in the movies.
So he plays Ed Warren.
Right there.
Yeah, that's Ed Warren. Yeah.
Patrick Wilson. Yes, I have seen The Conjuring. Yes.
There's three of them.
Now that we've come full circle. Yes.
There's three of them. Those are fantastic. So are Insidious.
I love the Insidious movies. I've seen all of them, also with Patrick Wilson.
I love them. Yes.
He is a good actor.
He's fantastic.
He is a good actor. And you know what? If we're talking about horror films, okay, there's this one film. I don't know if you guys are even going to be able to find it, but it's called Martyrs. And it's a French horror film. And it is the most horror-y horror film you will ever. It is shocking. Like, it is shocking. It's shocking. Okay. And it's insane. And it's also, you guys should check out The Platform on Netflix. It's actually called El Hoyo because it's a Spaniard film.
Yes.
But they have it dubbed in English and it is such a good movie. You've seen that.
Yes.
You've seen that. I've seen that. Yes. It's really good. Okay. Friday the 13th.
You can't forget the Amityville.
The one with Ryan Reynolds?
Well, the one with Ryan Reynolds is the remake.
Okay, you're talking about the
and
original.
It gives it more background, more
and
history. Yeah, he's beautiful. There would never be anybody who could play Deadpool better than him.
Dude, his sense of humor
is
so
awesome.
Good.
Like,
so good.
I am so in love with Ryan Reynolds. Like, everybody knows they need to move over when he's in the because, oh my God. Yes, Friday the 13th with my best friend. This is so fun. I loved
it. Episode.
I would love to know feedback from people who heard this, if there's things that they want to hear about, want us to
topic suggestions,
if they want Heather to shut up, like whatever, like feedback. Yes.
So let us know in the comments. Thank you guys so much. This was the first episode of Real Talk Tonight with Annalise Garcia and Heather Bravo. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.